are you all ready for a workout? Well, we're going to have one. After last week, I don't know, do I look stronger? I don't know. I'll tell you what I've got after last week. I got sore knees because I had to get on my knees and pray to God for me to be a spire for God. I have sore toes because I even stepped on my toes a little bit last week. And so, you know, I don't usually do a sermon for me to be convicted, but then God convicted me for many times because we want to be fit in 2017. That is what we're talking about with the Spire workout. Now, the Spire, if I told you about that, the Spire that we talked about, it is really kind of the importance of understanding the spiritual life and how it affects every other part of your life. So I'll kind of catch you up from last week. A spire, by definition, is a tall tower that is a superstructure of a building. Usually it's a church, and it tapers to the top of a point. It's like a steeple or a bell tower, and that's what a spire is. So what I want to encourage you all this year is to be fit in 2017 to do the spire workout. And we got a picture now of our bell tower, and I'll just explain to you. The bell tower right there, the spire on the bell tower is right there underneath the cross. That's the spire. That's what a spire is. And so the thing that we need to do in our spiritual life is this. We need to be on the top of the tower. Who is the tower? The tower is God, because the Bible says God is a strong tower. So we trust in God. We go in with God, we go up, and we're at the top because I want you to succeed in 2017 spiritually. I want you to be successful in 2017. And so you go to the top of the tower, you're at the spire of the tower, but you're under the cross of Jesus Christ. That is what helps us in our walk with God. So I mentioned about spiritual. The S is spiritual. The P is physical, which we'll talk about tonight. The I of the spire is intellectual. The R is relationships. And the E is emotional. And so each week we're going to take these. Now, as I explained last week, and tonight we're going to be talking about the physical, but as I explained last week, when God created Adam out of the dust of the ground. And Adam was lifeless, no form at all. And then when God breathed into Adam, he became a spiritual being. And so what happens in society a lot of times is we take these five components and we separate them. We take the spiritual and say we're going to work on that. We take the physical and say we're going to work on that. Intellectual, well, I'll read a book, I'll work on that. Relationships, well, I'm going to work on that. And the emotional, I'm going to work on that. Well, I'm here to say this, that when Adam was being formed in those days, what I'm trying to say to you is there was nothing until God breathed into Adam. It was just a piece of dirt. And so God breathed into him, which means this, that we cannot have these four, physical, intellectual, relationships, and emotional, without the spiritual. We cannot achieve what we need to achieve in the last four unless we have the spiritual. Because before the spiritual, the breath of our Almighty God, before that even happened, we were nothing. And so we have to go to the source to find out what the source says for how we need to get to the top of this tower and sit under the feet of Jesus Christ. And the source that we have is God. And the source that God's taught us is the Word of God. And so for us to be able to be successful in our walk with God, we're going to have to do a spire workout. Last week was the spiritual. Because without the spiritual, you cannot have anything. And so today, we're going to be talking about the physical. Oh, what fun. The physical. Now, let me start by saying that the Bible has so much to say about our physical. So I really do believe that if you follow what the Bible says when it comes to how we should live, that God is going to honor you physically. Now, when I say that, that's a truth, But yet I have to say this on top of that because it confuses people and it even confuses me sometimes. But that being said, we live in a fallen world. Do y'all understand that? When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, the world became a fallen world. And so when we are born, we have what we call a sin nature. We are fallen. We have a hole in us, which is an absence of God because of sin. Sin cannot be at the same place God is because God is so holy. So we have to find a way to fill that hole and that void in our life. And of course, we know that void is Jesus Christ. And when we ask Jesus Christ in our heart, we now have that spiritual back again the way God designed it to be. However, because we live in a fallen world, there are still people that follow God and get sick. There are still people that follow God and get diseases. I have to say that I'll never be able to explain that. And I just have to be honest with you. I don't know if you could explain that to me. I will never say that the reason people do this and do this and do this is because of sin. No, I'm going to say that because we live in a fallen world, the rain falls on the just and the unjust both the same when it comes to a fallen world. For example, one of the best Christians in the whole world was Paul. You know who Paul is, right? Paul wrote much of the New Testament. And yet the New Testament, I think if Paul is here, I would probably be here when it comes to my faith in God, how God wants me to be. But yet Paul even says in the Bible, that I had a thorn in the flesh. It wasn't a sin. Paul had a thorn in the flesh because of our fallen nature. Sometimes we get sick. However, as a general rule, following the Bible's guidelines when it comes to what the Bible says about our physical being will extend our life apart from God's sovereignty. I do not know why people get sick. I do not know why some people die early. I do not know that, but I know this. My God is sovereign, and I can trust God. I have to stand on that if I'm going to do the Spire workout for the spiritual part of it. I will never put myself in God's place trying to explain to someone why certain things are happening because I know that only God knows that. But one day, if you know Christ, one day you'll be able to understand that too. So that's the faith that we have when we talk about that. And so today we're going to be talking about the physical. Like I said, Adam was in the garden when God created him out of the ground, and he breathed into Adam, and Adam became a physical being. We're physical beings. We have this. Adam was designed, God designed Adam and Eve at the beginning to never die. They were perfect as perfect could be. They were two people at the beginning that probably had extraordinary abilities to do a lot of things that we don't have because we have the sin nature now. And so Adam and Eve at the very beginning, they were supposed to live forever. And yet what happened is Adam and Eve sinned, the sin nature began, and that is why God put the curse that because of the sin nature now, our physical bodies die. Y'all got that? Everybody in this room, we will die. And so one of the things that happens is we age, we get older, and because of the sin nature, that's what happens to our bodies because of the sin. But the breathing in of God, the breath of God that brought us a soul and brought us living will never die because that's from God. And so even though our physical bodies die, our spirit, the breath of God, who made us a living being, will never die. And so when you actually ask Jesus in your heart, if you look in John 20:22, and you ask Jesus in your heart, the Bible says, well, he said to his disciples, he breathed into them the Holy Spirit. I believe when you get saved, God kind of gives you a breath of freshness, the Holy Spirit. So when you get saved, you have the Holy Spirit with you, and it kind of makes you alive again. And yet God also has guidelines of what he wants us to do and how to live, because here it is. If we look in 1 Corinthians 6, it says this very thing. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? This is for Christians now. For you were bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which is God's. So the Bible says that when we are saved, we are breathed into us a refreshness through the Holy Spirit, and now we are temples of Almighty God. You're a temple. Did y'all know that? You are a temple. And inside of you is the Almighty God through the form of the Holy Spirit. And so God says to glorify him in your body. Now to do that, there are some things that we have to do in the Spire workout to be able to understand this. To glorify God in our body, we don't go to some magazine on the shelf and figure out how to take care of ourselves. We don't go to some book and try to figure out how to take care of ourselves. That helps. What we do is we go to the Word of God. Because God is now living in us. We are God's temple. And what better way to know how to take care of the temple of God than God's Word? And so what we're going to talk about today is we're going to talk about some of the things that the Bible says about how we can take this temple of God and we can use it for the glory of God. Think about this. When you got up this morning, did you say to yourself, Lord, my body is your temple. So God, how I live today with my body, I want to glorify you. See, we don't think that way, do we? But yet, that's really the truth of the matter. The truth is, every day when we wake up, if we're able to breathe, God's given us another day. And with God giving us another day in this body that we have, then God wants us to glorify him with our bodies. And so there's specific things that the Bible talks about. The first thing I want to talk about tonight is this, because it always is a question. How long do we live? That's God's business, right? God knows the number of days, but I don't know the number of days. Now, the Bible gives some information about that, and I kind of want to share that with you, because I don't want us to walk out of here thinking, you know, well, how long am I going to live and everything. Well, the Bible talks about how long do we live. Now, we're not going to live 930 years like they did in the Genesis. See, Genesis 1 through 5, the people in those days lived 930 years, 920 years, and then after the flood is when the ages started to go down a little bit. Now, there's a lot of theories of why that happens, and we could talk about that, but yet one of the things that we have to understand is God's still sovereign, and God still knows the number of days. And if you really want to talk about that, I love to talk about it, but I have about 26 minutes to do this sermon, and so I would love to talk to you about it because it's very interesting. But yet after the flood, the ages started going down. Now there's one verse in Genesis 6:3, that God says, then the Lord said, my spirit will not contend with men forever, for he is mortal. His days are numbered 120 years. Now a lot of people are saying, well, that was God saying that we live to be 120 years. But that's not necessarily true. I believe that scripture right there if you read that, right, what happens right after that scripture in Genesis is about 120 years later, the flood happens. And so God is warning the people and saying to them, the world has become so wicked that because the world has become so wicked, you have 120 more years, which basically was from when he did the proclamation until the flood came was right around 120 years. So 120 years is really not how long we should live. Now, if you go to Psalms, you read a verse in Psalms that talks about the length of our days is 70 years or 80. And if we have the strength, yet their span is of trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and fly away. That's the only other scripture in the Bible that gives a guideline kind of how long we live. So 70 to 80 years is a good guideline, but we can't even say that because that's not really from the Lord. The Lord says 70 to 80 years. The psalmist just says, hey, 70 to 80 years, that is usually when, how long people live. Some people live less, some people live more. But 70 to 80 years is a good way to say what I believe the Bible is implying. You live to be 70 to 80 years. Now, I'm going to ask this question. Be proud and strong. How many people over 70 do we have in this room? Raise your hand. Look at that. Give them a hand. Now, I want to share something with you. First of all, we're so glad you're here. But listen to what the Bible says. The Bible says, gray hair is the crown of glory. Even if you get it colored. Gray hair is the crown of glory. Listen, it is gained in the righteous life. Listen to what it says in Isaiah. Even to your old age, I am he. And to gray hairs, I will carry you. I have made and I will bear. I will carry and I will save. You know, when you get to be 70 or 80, of course, I'm only 58, so I'm not there yet. But I can't dunk a basketball like I used to on a 6-foot goal that I would lower, but that's another story. But you know, as you get older, I might get an amen on this. This body just doesn't do what it used to. Amen? And the Bible says, because God's given you this long life, he's saying to you, he's going to carry you. He's going to take care of you. In Job, it says, wisdom is with the aged, and understanding in length of days. If you're 70 or 80 in this room tonight, I want to tell you, I want to hear your wisdom. You have wisdom that none of us have because we haven't gone through it. And that's what the Bible says. If you're under 70 years old in this room, we need to respect those people that God has let live 70 to 80 years. They have wisdom that we'll never be able to understand. It also says later that it says, so even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me. Listen to what it says. Until I proclaim your might to another generation. Did you hear that? If you're over 70 or 80, you know what God has planned for you. You may not be able to run a marathon or a half marathon or even 100 yards. But you can proclaim the name of the Lord to another generation. We need you to share with us what God's done in your life. We need you to be able to share that with us. 70 to 80 years. That's just what the Bible says. It's not a concrete kind of statement. But yet you've lived a long time and the Bible has a lot to say. You need to proclaim with all your might to another generation the power of God and what God's done with you. Don't let this generation tell you, don't let this world tell you that you're not worth anything if you get to be a certain age. You have the power of God in you because God is carrying you and watching you. Don't give up just because your body doesn't feel like it used to. Don't give up because your knees hurt and your hips hurt and your back hurts and your arms hurt. You can proclaim the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God wants you to do that. And he even says in his Bible here, so don't lose heart. Though this outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. If you're 70 or 80 years old in this room tonight, you spend time with God, you get ready. You renew your heart to God every day. You get your spiritual life ready to go because you're going to see God face to face. That's what God says, renew your heart day by day. I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for who you are. I ask that you share the gospel of Jesus Christ to as many people as you can, because that is God's pleasure in your life at this time. So I just want to take this time right now, and I just want to pray for all those that are 70 and 80 or above in our, I just want to pray for them and their walk with you, with God. I just want to pray for them. So let's bow our heads right now. Father, in this room we have many people, Father, and they're 70, 80. Father, their bodies may not be what it used to, but Father, they want to live for you. Father, I'm praying that they will renew their hearts every day. Father, don't let the devil get in their mind and discourage them because their physical health is not what it used to be. Father, you raise them up. And Father, they be spiritual giants for what they are. Thank you for the wisdom. Thank you for the time that they've spent serving you. And so, Father, I ask now that you bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. So everybody below 70 and everybody 70 and 80, the Bible is clear about some things that we can do to help us be a spire in the way of our physical. And that is what I'm going to share with you for the rest of the time. Number one is this. The Bible in 1 Timothy 4:8 says this. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way. So it's saying this. It's saying that there's nothing more important than your godliness, but you do need to have some kind of physical exercise. So everybody in this room, the Bible says, if you have physical exercise, it will help you in your life. It will help you to be able to live the way God wants you to live. I believe the Bible's clear that says everybody needs to have some type of physical exercise. I'm not going to give you a program. I'm not going to tell you how to do it. Just everybody in this room, you have to have some kind of physical exercise, because the Bible even says this. Bodily training is of some value. So the Bible's telling us you have some kind of value in bodily training, exercise. So if you're not exercising right now, one way to be fit in 2017 spiritually is to get some exercise. Think about what you do now and just increase it a little bit. I joked around last week about the only exercise I get is from my couch to my refrigerator. Well, God wants me to increase that a little bit. I don't think that's what he's meaning. Go walking. Move your arms a little bit. Do something, because the Bible says, even though it's of some value, we know that godliness is a better value. So don't take physical exercise and make that your number one priority in your life and leave out the spiritual. No, spiritual is the number one priority in your life over everything. But physical exercise is important. Number two. You ready for number two? That wasn't that bad, was it? Physical. I mean, number two. Be careful what you put in your body. Okay, here he goes. Of course, we know this is when we're talking about drugs and alcohol, but we also know that they can destroy a body. We know that. We know that if you take drugs, it's going to destroy your body. If you drink too much alcohol, as the Bible says, it destroys your body. But really what I'm wanting to talk about is this. Sometimes I think in America, we can be obsessed with food. Me included. This has been a very difficult sermon for me to preach myself. According to the CDC, which is the Center of Disease Control and Prevention, obesity is now the number one health threat facing Americans. and the church is not immune. A study by Purdue University examined the relationship between religion and the BMI, which is the body mass index, and obesity. The study found that church members tend to be more overweight than the general population. This is not me, this is a study, and that Baptists, including Southern Baptists, have the distinction of being the most overweight religious group in the study. That is a study that came out that they were talking about, and it's a valid study. And then our own Guidestone, which is our insurance company for the church, did a study that was almost exactly the same, and they came out with the exact same conclusion. And so what we put in our body has a lot to do with the prolonging of our life. What we eat can lead to early death, chronic health issues. What we eat can lead to brain functions. What we eat can use our money based on what happens to our health. What we eat can lead to a lot. And so we have to be careful, because the Bible says a lot about our stomachs being our God, our bellies being our God. Because back in the Bible days, that's what they did. They feasted all the time. They would just eat and drink, eat and drink, eat and drink, eat and drink. And so the Bible has a lot to say about that. I want to read a story from a pastor. Now, Nikki and I went to Wayland Baptist University, and there was a pastor that we went to school with. Well, he's a pastor now. He works with the Sunday school board, and he does Sunday school, helps people grow their Sunday school. His name was Josh Hunt. And this is what he wrote in his book. He wrote, "I buried a man a few months ago who died of a massive heart attack. He was 45 years old, 10 years younger than me. It finally hit me. This could happen to me. I ran into an old friend who is also 45. 6 months ago, he had a heart attack as well. Happily, he lived through it. The two events were a wake-up call for me. The combination of these two things happening nearly at the same time got my attention. I am blessed with great health. Until about 3 years ago, I've never had to go to the doctor as an adult, except for one reason. But with the blessing comes a hidden curse. With my blessings and good health came the curse of believing that I was invincible. I never would have said it, but I really believe that I was above all medical problems. My behavior proved what I really believed. I believed that I could completely live a sedentary lifestyle, eat whatever I want, gain an extra 50 pounds, and be immune from the health consciousness that would come to anyone else who tried this. Something about burying a man 10 years younger than me got my attention." And so what I'm just trying to say to this is, many times we look at food, and we look at food as just something to either comfort us, soothe our emotions, solve a problem, make us happy. But many times, even as the Bible says, we put food above everything else. And what we have to be careful about is this. We just know by everything that we read and everything that we see that that could lead to early death, chronic health issues, brain functions, money spent for things, health. And so we need to be very cautious for what the Bible says is what we call the food we eat. We need to be very cautious about how much food we eat. This is a hard workout. But it's a true workout, because it comes from Scripture. I know we live in a society where we just love food. We like everything fried upon fried. And yet many times what we have to understand is there will only come a time that we can do that so long before it affects us. And so I don't know how you eat. I don't want to know how you eat. I'm just saying to you, for you to do the Spire workout when it comes to your physical, take an inventory of what you eat and decide, am I even going to make it to 70 or 80? Because the Bible says, even in where it says in 18 again, it says in 1 Corinthians 6, it says, for many walk, from whom I've told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, who ends is destructions, who God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame. And so what I'm saying is, and there's scripture after scripture after scripture in Psalms that talks about what we eat. So all I'm asking for you to do in the Spire workout, I'm not going to tell you what you do. That's none of my business to tell you what to do. I'm just saying this. I believe the Bible's clear to say we need to be careful what we put in the temple of God. Amen? And so let God speak to you and move you according to what you need to do. The third thing, and probably the most important, is this. I'm not talking now, when I say sin, I'm not talking about the sin nature, because the sin nature is why we die, because when Adam and Eve sinned, they now have the sin nature, it affected the physical body, and the physical body dies. However, the Bible is clear to say that there are sins of not following God that can physically harm us. And so we have to be very careful about that, because if we want to live in this temple and we want to live the way God wants us to live and we want to prolong our days, the Bible has some things that we need to do for such. Proverbs 3 says this, my son, do not forget my teachings, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace, they will be added to you. So the Bible says that if you keep God's commandments and you live according to the Word of God, your days will be lengthened. Makes sense, doesn't it? Makes a lot of sense to me that if we live according to what the Bible says, our days will be lengthened. Of course, we know there's, like I said before, the sovereignty of God. We don't know anybody's days. But the Bible says our days will be lengthened. Do you keep God's commandments? Do you spend your time building up righteousness through Jesus Christ by trusting in Him and living for Him? That's according to Proverbs 3. In Proverbs 10, it says this, the fear of the Lord prolongs your days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. So it says this, the fear of the Lord. That's not being scared of God. That's giving God reverence. So when you read the Word of God, do you give God reverence? Do you obey the Word of God? I believe that if you obey the Word of God, God says, of course, that He lengthens your days. The fear of God, that God is in control. Food's not in control of my life. Physical exercise is not control of my physical life. God's in control of my life. And so we give it all to God and we fear God, knowing, God, if it's in your word, I really want to work. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, I want to try to live according to what your word says. And so we live that way. Another thing the Bible talks about is honoring your parents. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and the mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. Y'all know what the promise is? I bet you do. It is that it will go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Honor your parents. They're your parents. Some of your parents have gone to be with the Lord. Well, you can still honor them, because it gives a promise. Your days will be lengthened. And so one of the things that you have to understand is this. God just is right here in the Bible saying, okay, I want to tell you how you can live longer. I want you to follow my commands. I want you to fear me. I want you to honor your parents. It says something else. It says in the Bible that your days will be longer and your physical body will be better if you do not take the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. That's in there. Now, what do I mean unworthy manner? Well, back in the days of Corinth, they were like all getting drunk and gorging themselves on the bread and wine and doing all that. That's what the unworthy manner. But unworthy manner with the Lord's Supper is that we treat the Lord's Supper as something reverent. Because the Lord's Supper represents what? The blood and the body of Jesus Christ. And so when we come to take the Lord's Supper as a church, it is in remembrance of Jesus Christ and Him dying on the cross and His body being broken. And we give that to God. And so if we come and we make a mockery out of that by coming and having unforgiven sin in our lives, it affects us physically according to what the Bible says. If you want to look that up, that's in 1 Corinthians 11, 27 through 32. It says that some people among you are sick, and some of them are even asleep because they have taken the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. So next time you take the Lord's Supper, I just encourage you to just confess all your sins to the Lord. Forgive the people in your life you need to forgive. We are talking about the blood and the body of Jesus Christ. The next way that it says in the Bible is in 1 Corinthians 6 again, and it says this, "But he who unites himself with the Lord is one with him in spirit." It says, "Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a man commits is outside his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body." So there's something about a sexual sin that the Bible says affects you physically. Now you have all these other sins, but it says that's outside the body. But there's just something about the sexual sin that affects your body. So flee from all that. So the Bible's saying that's a way to prolong your life. Flee from that kind of stuff. And then the Bible says this, "For you to live the kind of life you need to live for God, with this being the temple of God," right? Because it is the temple of God, "you must confess and get rid of all hidden sin in your life." Now, I don't know what your hidden sin is. That's why it's hidden. But I know David is our example. David, after his sin with Bathsheba and his murder, that he committed murder, lived a year and a half with this hidden sin in his life. And in Psalms 38, of course, Psalms 32 is also talks about it. And then you have Psalms 51 where he goes and he asks forgiveness. But in Psalms 38, he talks about the effects of the heavy hand of God on him because of his hidden sins. In verse 5, he said he had festering wounds. His body was felt like festering wounds. In 38:7, it said he had compromised flesh. In 38:8, it says he was just exhausted. And then it talks about that he was weak. He had poor vision. His heart was flittering. He had this hidden sin. And then in 38:17, it said he had chronic pain. Then if you read chapter 32 in Psalms, it talks about his bones were hurting. So there's something about hidden sin. And in David's life, it just tore him up physically. So hidden sins can tear you up. Nobody will know about it, but it will tear you up. And God is saying in his Bible, the way to deal with this and the way to deal with every one of these other ones that I said is this. Be like David. Be Psalms 51. Go before God and say, God, forgive me for the times in my life that when it came to my physical body, I have sinned against you, God. Confess any hidden sin. Confess those times that we took the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. Confess those things in our life that I talked about where we haven't kept God's commandment. Confess that time that we haven't feared God the way that we need to fear God. Let's make God number one again. Let's get to the top of the tower because God is the strong tower. And when it comes to your physical life, let's give all that to God. And then, God willing, links will be added to your days. God wants you to be on top of that tower under the cross of Jesus Christ. So I've shared with you tonight some things that we can do physically to help that. I pray God moves us in such a way that we will live for Him and our temple will glorify God. Boy, wouldn't that be great? Our temple would glorify God. Let's bow our heads. Some of you here tonight, when I was talking about a temple of God and God breathing into you, you've never come to the place in your life where you've asked Jesus into your heart. Well, I just want to share with you tonight that God wants you to know He loves you. And He sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for your sins. And tonight you can commit to God and you can start down this path of what I was talking about. For others here tonight, like I had to do and continue to do, I just had to ask God to forgive me for how I treated His temple. And if you have mistreated the temple of God, God loves you. What we knew when we go against God many times is we just need to get on our knees before God and ask His forgiveness. You know, when you ask God forgiveness, He forgives you. And then we move down the path God wants us to be. You know, the Spire workout, the S was spiritual, it was to get saved. The P was physical, and it was just, God, I want to be the best temple I can be for you. So maybe tonight you need to come and say a prayer up front with me as we have the invitation that you need to ask Jesus Christ in your heart. You want to be that temple of God. Maybe some of y'all need to just come and pray at the altar and ask God to help you be the best temple. Or you can do that where you're standing too. Maybe you're here tonight and you don't have a church home. We want you to know that we would love to have you as part here to serve God. We just need to move closer and closer up that tower under the cross of Jesus Christ in our spiritual, our physical, our intellectual, our relationships, and our emotions. So, Father, I pray as we are here tonight, and I ask God that you will just move in our hearts. Help us to glorify you in every way. In Jesus' name, amen.